Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Love Yourself Fearlessly. I'm Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, and I am very excited tonight because I have a very special guest that is joining us today. We are all about the love tonight, and we have the Love Doctor joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. Reverend Shanitha Akinlana is the Love Doctor. She's hosted the Love Doctor Radio on Blog Talk. The Love Doctor Show on Blog Talk Radio. She has two master's degrees, one in adult education, and if that wasn't enough, with a concentration in counseling, she also holds a master's in religion, theology, and philosophy. She has been a leadership fellowship. Pardon me, Shanitha. She's been a leadership facilitator for over 25 years. She's a life coach. She's taught and facilitated workshops. And she has not only been a mother, a wife, but she's also been a nurse for over 40 years and holds a second degree, and I want to call it a black belt, in Reiki. Above all, Reverend Shanitha is a powerful woman. She's one of the most authentic and grounded women in the spiritual that I know, and she's also a very dear friend to me. Welcome, Shanitha. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That was so, so nice. And, I mean, it's really my pleasure to really be on the show with you. And I say, too, you know, you are just such a powerful and wonderful and special woman, you know, and I say ditto for all the things that you said for me. So, yeah, you know, and it's all about love for me. It's all about love, and it has been for a long time. And so, you know, we're open tonight for those people who might have questions about love, you know, and if not, we're going to talk about love, okay, all forms of it tonight. So we can get started.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is,
yes,
a lot of people manifest from an unconscious place, you know, and they do it, of course, unconsciously. They're not even aware they're doing it. So how are some of the ways that people manifest unconsciously?
They can say things out loud, and they're not really realizing the power of the spoken word when they say something out loud. They might say, oh, my God, I just can't, you know, stand this so-and-so, and then all of a sudden it begins to manifest. Or, you know, I can't wait to get this wonderful man in my life, you know, and then it can manifest like that because it's the power that we use behind the words and not even knowing that we are creating every time we open our mouths and we speak. There's something in the Bible that says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of a tongue. So we must be careful of what it is that we speak because we're manifesting all the time. We're creating every moment of our lives. We are creating. And so things show up. And we wonder how it got there. You know, men show up. We wonder how they got there, you know, and women show up. We wonder how did they get in our lives, you know, and it's more than just the law of attraction, but it is the power of what it is, or it's our intent when we say things. And so I always tell people, don't say negative things about yourself, you know, just kind of haphazardly. You might say, oh, that was a stupid thing I did. Because when you say those things, that was a stupid thing I did, you accept the idea of being stupid. So everything that we need to know, that, and so we're manifesting very quickly. We're manifesting all the time, daily. You know, it's almost like we have to watch our thoughts and watch what it is that we say because, whoops, there it is. Once off the lips, sinks ships, and whoa, it's not even sinking. It's floating now because we have created a boat. So,
well, I want to stop you for a second. Now, you've talked about spoken word. And,
yes.
And you've also mentioned thoughts. And then, of course, there's the written word. So is one more powerful than another?
No, it is not.
Okay. So it doesn't matter whether we think these things or we write these things or we speak these things.
Right. I like to think of the mind as a place where there's auditions going on all day long, if you can think of it like this. And there's auditions coming on, and somebody comes on the stage, you know, and they do their little act and everything, and we can either accept that act or we can say next. And it's like that, you know, things are coming all day long. It's like, no, I don't want this thought. You know, yes, I want this thought. No, I don't want this thought. And I hear women say a lot, I can't stand this man, you know, and I can't wait until
yes.
he's gone out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And not realizing that when they're saying that they can't stand this man and they'll be glad when he's gone, he eventually will be gone. And then they'll be crying and they'll wonder, why is he gone? Not realizing that they have spoken into manifestation. You know, or either they can say things like me, you know, I did this. I don't know if I should say this right now or not, but, you know, I can speak men into existence, you know, very easily. So I have to kind of like watch myself.
Well, now, I know you mentioned life and death, and I've got to say, you know, that you and I share some commonality, and there's a lot of it between us.
Yes.
But one of my marriages was rather abusive, and I was terrified of this man, and I wished him dead over and over and over again. And needless to say, you know, he died early, 52. Now,
hallelujah.
I did not at my hand, but you know, I've been thinking about all those thoughts that I thought were, why doesn't he just get hit by a bus? And, you know, when we're in that anger and that resentment and, you know,
it's
feeling
powerful.
Sorry for ourselves, you know, we can really manifest things. So I'm glad you brought that up about the Bible verse. Now, conscious creation, and we're going to talk a little bit about conscious manifestation. So what's the difference then of conscious manifestation rather than just, you know, willy-nilly thinking thoughts and boof, there it is?
Well, what happens with that is that you sit down with intent, or you might stand up with intent.
Okay.
Whatever it is. And, you know, intent is the word here that we need to use.
Okay, let's
and
talk a little bit about that. So what would you say then? Your intent, let's say you want to manifest, and I don't want you to be manifesting something you don't want. So just how would you speak an intention or think an intention? What would it be?
Well, I could think that I'm going to have a large sum of money. Or I could think
hallelujah.
That I'm going to, yes, or I could think that, you know, a man is coming into my life. I'm thinking, you know, I'm feeling, I'm emoting with that intention that this person is going to come into my life.
Okay.
So I can write it down that, you know, it's already manifested and start thinking of it as, and being grateful for it already being in my life now.
Okay. So, and acting as if then.
Acting as if it's already
okay.
done.
And I like to recommend that people clear a place in their closet to make room for somebody. If you are looking for a man to come into your life, if there is no room in your closet for another shirt, there's no room for a man. So there's probably 20 to 30% of the clothes in your closet that could be given away to Goodwill. Make room for your man.
That's so, very true.
What else can you do to prepare then?
Well, also talking about the bedroom, you know, there's a lot of feng shui things that you can do in your bedroom too, you know, and I'm saying that can help you. Like if you have a bed, you have to have a table on both sides. You have to have a lamp on both sides. You have to represent the masculine and feminine on both sides. You can't have pictures in your room if you're trying to attract a man of a lot of women. You know, you have to have pictures in your room that depict men and women together, you know, maybe in a love scene or something like that. Or, you know, you might have objects where it's two things. You know, you can have
pairs.
Pairs. You can have crystals, pink crystals in your room. Anything that you think that would represent, you know, a loving, romantic, sexual intimacy, spiritual intimacy, or whatever it is, you are in the process of creating when you are doing these things.
I want to just speak about the night tables on either side of the bed.
Yes.
I cannot tell you the number of times that I've had bedrooms with a table on one side, not the other, and not had anybody in my life. Or I've had people come and go, and they
yes.
seem to come and go quickly, but they don't stay. And, you know, here I am in the desert, and guess what? I gave my daughter the big room. I took the little room. There isn't room for another. I've got my bed pushed up against the wall. I have one night table. And although men are showing up, they're not staying long. you know. So it just, that is so true. It's very important to have, and not only in the bedroom, but end tables on either side of your couch as well.
Yes, that's very, very true. Or even if you don't have one on one end, you don't have any on either end. You see, you don't
none
have
at all. Gotcha.
None at all. You know, but you don't want to just have one singular, you know.
Yes.
Just like if someone goes into a bathroom, you know, you would have two tiles. You know, if you set a place for dinner, you know, and you don't have a man in your life, you set two places, you know, one for him with the full thing and one for you. This is always is representing what the mind can conceive, the mind can achieve, because the subconscious mind, it doesn't really know whether it's true or not. It just accepts. That's what the subconscious mind does. It says, I'm going to accept, I'm going to accept, I'm going to accept. So if you got two places sitting there, okay, then nine times out of ten, you're preparing your consciousness, your conscious mind, to receive another person to have dinner with you.
Well, I like that. And Shanisa, then shouldn't we then, you know, for example, for me, seeing myself, I put myself specifically in this bedroom, and here I have this one night table, and, you know, I wonder how much of me doesn't really want to have somebody.
Well,
you know, maybe it's an unconscious.
Yes, and that's probably what's going on. It's a subconscious thing, and the subconscious just accepts. It's like, you know, if the subconscious could talk back to you right now, and it does in many ways, but we're talking about manifesting, it would say, you don't want to really, you know, you don't really want another person here in your bed because you haven't prepared for it. You know, so you'll keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, you know, and sometimes, you know, like you said, men will come, but they won't stay because mm-hmm. the subconscious thing is saying, I don't need another person in my bedroom. My bedroom is enough for me and my nightstand.
Well, and so this is what I want to comment on, because we're talking about manifestation here, that women, if you're attempting to manifest and he's not showing up, are you open to receive?
Absolutely. You know.
And then the other thing is that the more compassionate we are to ourselves, our friends, our families, our animals, the more compassionate, the more room and the more available we are emotionally for a man or, if depending on who's listening, or a female to show up.
That's absolutely true. You know, and, you know, remember one thing that we must remember all the time, I tell my clients, is that we're always 24 hours a day, even when we're sleeping, we are creating. We are creative beings, or co-creators, let's say, you know, with God, you know. So
mm-hmm.
we are constantly creating. So it's like, what do you want to create? And I can think about so many relationships that I have created and homes that I have created and cars and things like that, you know, creating, you know, people get vision boards to create. They do all types of different things to give that subconscious mind a kick. This is what I want, like a little spoiled child. I want this.
I want this, yes.
I want it. You know, that's like my client called me the day. She said, well, I just want him. You know, I said, okay, I got you.
Well,
she said it with such intensity. So when she said it with that intensity went out into the universe, and it probably at a subconscious level struck this person. Now, they might have not been thinking about her at the time, but if you use a lot of emotion with it, then it begins to create even faster for you.
Sure. The emotion is very
important. That's why people
important.
Do prayers.
Yeah.
You know, prayers,
right.
You say them out loud. It's like, I want something, God. I want something. I want something.
Well, now, we're talking about manifesting love. The key ingredient here is love. What is it, and what is your definition of love?
Well, what I did was I've written a book, Deliverance. I'm not trying to do a commercial.
No. And I meant to talk about your two books, and I didn't. So, Shanisa, you've written two books, Deliverance, and then I love the title of this one, If I'm Dreaming, May I Never Wake Up.
That's what it's called, you know what I'm saying? And I love that title,
that.
Too.
Love it.
You know, and I have a poem that I made with the book. But this is just something that I just had written out of my book and wanted to share it with you. And I'll just read it just like it's there in the book. Love is love. It's about love and relationships, first of all. Love is the ethereal experience that makes us feel completely alive, where every sense is heightened, every emotion is magnified, our everyday reality is transcendent, and life seems worthwhile. Love is the ultimate nourishment of the soul. It is said that the entire array of human needs are rooted in our need for love. Our yearning for fame and fortune and material things all boils down to our need to be acknowledged, respected, admired, and above all, loved.
That's beautiful. All right. So let's talk a little bit. Are you complete with that?
Yes, I am. I was going to say that there are affirmations after that particular paragraph. There's a lot of affirmations that people can do out loud to help to do the manifesting a lot quicker.
All right. So let's hear what those are.
Okay. And I'll do them kind of quickly because there's quite a few.
Okay.
I am a radiating being full of vitality, enjoying the life to its fullest. I am becoming more self-assured, calm, and confident. I love life, and life loves me. I am a beautiful being of light. I love myself unconditionally for all of my imperfections and my perfections. My inner light shines brilliantly from within me. I am beautiful both on the inside and out. The infinite love of Source is filling me. I am acting from my higher self. I am a creature unlike any other, truly unique and blessed. I am irresistibly attracted to any man or woman. Of course, you can say that a person's name if you like to. You can say this person is lucky to have me. Joe is lucky to have me. Or you can say, Joe is lucky to have me because. And then you could fill in those blanks. Or I see myself achieving great heights of success. I see myself achieving, and then you could put in whatever it is that you need to put there. And then I am truly a remarkable woman or man who has achieved, and then you can list those things that you have achieved. Then here's another one. I love my life. Today is a wonderful day. It's a fabulous day for singing a song. I have an abundance of self-assurance. I attract miracles in my life right now. And then you can put your name here, award-winning, whatever you want to say, a scientist or a nurse or whatever, and you can replace it with your goals if you like. Moving on, I am in a joyous, intimate relationship. I draw love and romance into my life, and I accept it right now. My relationships are mirrors that show me myself. I am now learning from all of my relationships. My relationships are helping me to heal and love myself. I am strong, vulnerable, and loving in my relationships. I desire love and sexual pleasure. I am now ready to accept a happy, fulfilling relationship. I am now ready for my relationships to work. I love myself and naturally attract loving relationships into my life. I am now attracting exactly the kind of person that I want. I am now divinely irresistible to my perfect mate. All difficulties between, and then you could put the name right there. You could say Joe. All difficulties between me and Joe are now being healed. And or a person's name, whatever name you would want to put there. And then the more I love myself, the more that I love you. And the more that I love you, the more I love myself. It just goes on and on. A lot of affirmations about love.
Now, which book is this in?
This is in Deliverance.
Deliverance. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And where can people find that book?
They can get that online at Amazon.com.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, so some of the bookstores have it, but, of course, you'd have to order it from some of the bookstores, like the big bookstores.
Well, and I just want to mention, while we're talking about your book, and those affirmations are amazing. I scribbled quite a few down, and I'm going to be using some of those myself. Okay. Yes, I need.
You've got a lot of stuff in there about love.
I,
you know,
I have a feeling too. But Shanitha has a beautiful website. Can you let everybody know the web address to your website?
It's twinflamesinlove.com, and I'll say it again. It's twinflamesinlove.com. Pretty easy.
Twinflamesinlove.com. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we all want love, but sometimes we create or attract people that don't appear to be loving to us. So what is love not? What isn't love?
Okay, well, I want to just go down and tell you some of the things that love is not, because if we don't, we have to know what it is not,
yes,
the fallacies about love, in order to know what it is. And people are dealing more in the fallacies than they are dealing in the real, actual, you know, actual, authentic,
okay,
loving relationships. Okay, and I'll just kind of, you know, go down the list, and if you want to stop me, you can.
Okay.
One of the first is love is easy. You know, remember these are fallacies.
Yeah.
Love is easy, spontaneous, and everybody is prepared for it. Sound kind of crazy to you?
Uh-huh.
True. Passion and jealousy are grudges for real love. Are gauges for real love? No.
Wait. Oh, so passion and jealousy
are gauges,
okay,
for real love.
And if somebody's listening, has just started to listen to this at this point, I want to remind you that these are all fallacies about love. This isn't what love isn't. Okay.
This is about what love isn't. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Love is a feeling, and it resides in your heart. And, you know, people always say, you know, I got love in my heart. How do you know you have, the love is there? If it's in your mind, if it's in your pants, wherever it is, it might not be in your heart, okay? Then another one is everyone has a right to obtain happiness and love. This is a fallacy. Everyone does not have a right to obtain happiness and love. Another one is love should be selfish. Nope, I don't think so. Another one could be luck and happiness and love depend exclusively on finding the right person. You know that's a fallacy. You know that.
Well, you know,
true.
It's funny because I, you know, in my research for my book, I saw so many websites that said a relationship is defined by, or the best relationships happen when you have the right person. And
no.
I believe that's, yeah, that's not true at all.
No, it's not true. At all, you know what I'm saying? Who
right.
Was the right person?
We could love anybody.
We could love, and we should
right.
love anybody,
right.
everybody. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And even sometimes, the people who have done things to us, we really reach a place of learning how to forgive people when people have done things to us, and we love them anyway. That's the ultimate. You know,
right.
people might say, you know, I mean, if God stopped loving us with all the crap that we do, we would be in serious
yes.
trouble.
Or even just things that we spoke.
Yes, you know. Okay, so we're going to go on here. Okay, love should be an explosive and overwhelming experience. Sometimes it's not.
No.
No, you know, sometimes it's not. Another one is love should be blind, you know, without involvement of the power of reason. Well, now, you know, they always talk about love should be blind. I don't know if that, you know, if we could really go there or not. You know, we have to use rhyme and reason in the things that we're doing nowadays because there's so much going on in our world, you know.
Well,
so.
I do want to talk about that because I see a lot of people, and I've been there myself, where on the first date I had huge red flags that I ignored because I just wanted that relationship.
Yes.
And so that could really, you know, really send you down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm saying here that love should be blind. It should not be blind, you know, without involvement
right.
of power or reason. And so you had the red flags. You saw what was there, but you just chose not to deal with it. You chose not to work with that particular energy. Maybe a lot of times when these things happen, is because the greatest lesson needs to be learned from this individual, and sometimes we just don't see it at first. We don't see the lesson. We don't see that this person could be from the past. It could be karmic in nature. We don't see any of those things. All we know is at the moment, you know, our whatever it is throbbing, you know, we're feeling the lust and we're feeling all these good juices and things that are flowing. You know, the attraction level or quotient has gone up a bit, you know, with this person. And so we just keep moving forward, and it's okay. I tell a lot of the people, it's okay if that relationship didn't work out. Don't beat yourself up forever about it. Just know it taught you the best lesson in the world, and go on. You know?
Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Right. You know, just go on with your life. And because one thing that I have realized that, you know, when people get married, I've married quite a few couples in my life, maybe over 400 and something, that when people stay there and stand there before me, you know, and take their vows and everything, and they say, till death do us part, I think that this is the biggest lie that people tell themselves, that they have to stay together when they know things are not working well for them because they have took this vow or made this declaration or whatever. Because one thing about life, stuff ends. Relationships end.
Yes,
people
they
die.
Do.
People go away. You know what I'm saying? Other people come into your life. Karma is over. We can go on and on. Debt paid in full. You can go on and on,
right.
You know, with all this. So I think that, you know, people need to be wise and say, okay, you know, maybe it might not last forever, you know, but I choose to be friends and I choose to love you the best that I can while we are together.
Well, and here's the other thing is that after, and I'm seeing this a lot lately, after 20, 26, 28 years, couples are growing apart. They're not growing together. They're growing apart. And to choose to stay together just because you've had this commitment, it's not enough, and you're not going to be happy.
It's not
right?
enough.
No.
It's not enough. You know, so, you know, people have to – self-awareness – is probably what we all are searching for, you know, to be aware, self-realization, to realize what is really going on within you. It's never about the other person. It's always about you. And I tell people, even when you feel like you're in love, it's not about them. It's about you, okay?
Absolutely. But, you know, the part of it, you know, you and I have talked about this before, is that we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust ourselves to go with the flow. We don't trust ourselves to go with the process. And we don't trust God to do God's job.
No, we don't. You know, we think God needs help. You know, we know that we need help, okay? But sometimes, you know, we do. You know, we say a prayer, and then we say it again, and then we say it again like God didn't hear us, you know, and because we don't trust. And I remember when I was going to school to be a facilitator, there were five rules that we had to take into consideration for the rest of our lives. And those five things have really, really, they have helped me in so many, many different situations, and they're so true. And one of them was just what you said a moment ago. The first law was to trust the process, to trust the process of life, you know, and give up the need to know. You know, you don't need to know about everything that somebody else is thinking, you know. And another one was do not compare. You know, don't try to compare yourself to somebody else, or, you know, he's seeing somebody else, so he likes her better because she has a big butt. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Don't compare yourself to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
There is only you. There's only one of you. And you have intricacies and things inside of yourself that nobody else will ever be able to possess but you, not even if you were a twin. And I think that that is what's so very beautiful about God is so unique that, you know, it's a million pieces of sand on the beaches, but all of them are different, you know, like snowflakes. And so,
it's beautiful,
you know,
yes. just like we are different.
Yes, you know, we're different, but we're all the same, you know, we're
same.
All children.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I can get on with my list here. One thing is love should be like a novel. It should be romantic and fantastic. Oh, well, yes. We know that's a lie because it's not always like that. No,
right.
It's not. Okay. Uh-huh. Another one is love is dependent on physical beauty. Now,
yes, that's not true.
No, it's definitely not true because otherwise it would be a whole lot of people who never would get married.
Right.
You know, if it was the case that it was just about beauty, and I have to bring up this story right now because I think it's very important right here, but there was a guy, and this was many, many years ago, and I ended up going with this guy for 4 years to tell you that I don't get caught up in beauty. You know, it's all about the mind. But this we had a long-distance telephone relationship, and he would always tell me to send him pictures, and I would send him pictures, not nasty pictures, you all. He would never send me a picture of himself. But, you know, over time of talking, we must have talked for a year, and we became extremely close. And he said that he wanted to meet me. And so I said, oh, that's fine. And he was very, very generous. He said, well, where would you like to go in the world? And I told him, I said, I'd like to go to Disney World because I love Disney World. So he said, okay, well, I'll take you to Disney World. I'll pay for everything and the whole thing like that. It's like, oh, why am I doing this? But by then I felt like I knew him. So I said, well, how will I know what you look like when I get off the plane, you know, in Florida? He said, I'll have some yellow flowers, and that's how you'll know who I am. And so I said, okay, you know, I'm all excited, and I go and everything like that. Get off the plane. He's coming down the area. He's got the yellow flowers, and when I walked up him, he was extremely unattractive. I mean extremely. He was so unattractive until I think that we were standing in line at Disney World, and it was a little girl standing on the other side of the line. You know how you have to kind of go through the corral, you know, to get to the fun.
Yes.
And she said, Mommy, look at the monkey. She was talking him. And he was so embarrassed. We had a relationship for 4 years. But he was the kindest gentleman. He was a gentleman. He was kind. He was generous. He was spiritual. We had excellent communication. And, you know, I loved him. It didn't have anything to do with beauty. You see, I just loved him. And we still talk nowadays, you know what I'm saying? It was many, many years ago. So it doesn't have anything to do with physical beauty. Love has nothing to do with physical beauty. And the next one is love depends on sexual union. Well, now, I don't know if people could really believe that love is sex, because it is not.
No.
And I saw the most beautiful depiction of love, true love, from Christopher Reeves and his wife, you know, because he had the terrible accident. Of course, he could not have sex.
Right.
And she was just dutiful. I mean, she was just an angel. You know, she was there for him every moment, you know. She wanted to do a lot of the care for him herself. Her genuine love had nothing to do with sex. She loved him. She loved his kids. This is love. This is what true love is, you know, in sickness and health.
I want to add.
It's not always about sex, huh?
He died, and she died very shortly thereafter.
He was alive for about 4 years.
Yes, but after he died, she died, I think, within the following year.
She did. She absolutely did. She went. She wanted to go. And she wanted to be with her beloved.
Yep.
And so love has nothing to do, well, I shouldn't say it has nothing to do, but it's not dependent on the sex act alone.
No.
Matter of fact, if you can't have sex, what do you do then? Throw the love out the window or throw the baby out with the bath water? No, I don't think so. Okay, another one would be love never knows any type of discord. Well, we know that's not true.
As a matter of fact, you know, we need to have that discord to clear energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I mean, a good fight every now and then, you know, and I'm saying, as long as you're not hitting me or something like that, could be really, really good for sex.
Yeah.
Just the makeup part that we, you know, that we go through. Because if you really love someone, you can make up with them. You can forgive them. You can go on, you know. You hit bumps in the road, you know, when you are in a relationship, and when it's true love, you're going to hit relationship bumps, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's another one. Love is a cure for loneliness, failure, and anxiety.
Well, it could fill that hole temporarily, but it won't last. And then you're going to be wondering why you feel lonely within a marriage or relationship. And so that is a really good segue, because it brings us back to you can only manifest what you are.
Absolutely.
So if you're codependent, you're an addict, if you're poverty stricken, you have all kinds of issues, you're going to attract somebody who's just like you.
So in other words, you said if you attract a poor man, it's because you're poor.
Yes, probably so.
Probably so, you know what I'm saying. You know,
what do they say, birds of a feather flock together?
That's absolutely true. You don't have any money, I don't have any money, so anyway.
Right.
Okay, we can go to the next one, which is love is the feeling of euphoria is a sign of true love.
Hmm.
Well, a lot of times when you first meet someone, you have that euphoric feeling. You have the feeling of, and sometimes it gets into a little infatuation, you know, mm-hmm. that you might have with someone too, and it just feels so good. You know, you feel like, oh my God, I drank 9 glasses of wine. This person makes me feel so good. It must be love. If you're feeling like that when you first meet someone, 9 times out of 10, it is not love. You know,
yes,
some type of
probably infatuation. Yeah,
it's probably some type of infatuation that a person is having.
Mm-hmm.
Another one would be falling in love is destined to be a positive and desirable experience. Well, you know, with all the people that come to me, you know, I have quite a few clients. It's just the opposite from that. You know, falling in love, you're not going to be destined for all positivity in your relationship. You know, it's just not going to happen. We are living in a real world, you know, and everybody got stuff that they're working with. And so
not to mention different family backgrounds, different values.
Absolutely.
Come from different places.
Cultures and everything else,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is a good one here, though, Jennifer. One partner should give all his time and devotion to the other.
Oh, no. That's what you call obsession and codependence.
That's exactly what it is, you know. And the idea sometimes that women get into the thing where, you know, I'm going to change him to be like I want him to do. So he's going to do everything I want him to do kind of thing, you know?
Make him the Stepford man, right?
The Stepford man, absolutely. And when you make them into this, then you really don't like them because they're somebody different now. They're not the person that you originally chose to be in love with. You know, they are somebody different because they're not doing the same thing. I was talking to one of my friends, and he was like, you know, I said, you know, you get any sex? He said, well, I don't get any sex very often, and I can't go out, you know, where I want to go because I'm being, you know, curtailed. I have all these chores and duties that I have to do in order to feel like this person loves me or that I'm loving this person. If I don't mop the floor, this is a man talking, you know, and if I don't do this, you know, I'm not going to be able to get any sex. That is crazy. You know, that is not love. You know,
well,
you're manipulating and you're controlling and you're trying to get everything in, you know, the way that you want it.
Well, and here's the other thing, because in my research for my book, what I found was that men who did menial chores that were really, you know, previously, I would say, women's chores, like the typical cleaning stuff, that they got less sex than the ones that only took the garbage out and grilled out every once in a while. because women think that we want our men to do all these things, and then we don't respect them when they do.
And that's very true, and that's what I'm saying. You know, do you really want that person, or do you just want someone so that you won't be lonely?
We have 20 minutes left, Shanitha, and I'm wondering how many more of these do we have
maybe
to go?
We have a few, maybe 6.
Okay.
I'll just take the most
the
important
high point.
Ones.
Okay,
love requires no willpower or discipline. We know that that's not true. Another one would be love will allow a person to fulfill all of his illusions, his desires, and fantasies.
Okay, so let me rephrase that. In other words, that a love for you would fulfill all of your needs, make you happy, and take care of all your needs. Okay, and that's one of the things. It took me a long time to figure that one out. Ladies, we need our friends. Men, you need your friends. And we cannot expect that one person is going to fulfill all of our needs. It's just not possible, and it puts way too much pressure on the relationship.
It really is. You know, and that can drive somebody nuts.
Well, yeah, you know? And then here's the other thing. We need a break every once in a while.
Really, you know, go out with your friends, you know, go have a good time, you know, come back and see me, go on a trip somewhere, you know, and always have your friends, you know, keep your friends very, very close because sometimes men are like revolving doors, you know, sometimes they come and go, but if you have a good friend, they will stick with you forever.
Well, now, and let's just talk about that because I have seen women give up an appointment, a date with their women friends because their man has said, hey, would you like to go do dinner with me tonight? And then she'll drop her plans that were set in stone and go off with her guy.
That's a little bit crazy, you know.
Well, it's disrespectful to your friends, and it's also very codependent because what you're basically saying is the relationship means more to you than you do yourself.
Yes. I'm going to do one last one, and we won't go to the other ones. The last one is that one person should possess the other person.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. No, I don't like that one at all. Okay.
No. And those are just, you know, things that people believe is love, you know, and we know in our hearts of hearts that it is not. It's not even close. And people have these same kind of thoughts about marriage and same kind of thoughts about sex, you know. If I sleep with him, he's going to love me, especially us women. You know, it's like, oh, I gave him the most precious thing in the world, my stuff. And since I gave him my stuff, I'm in love with him, and he's got to be in love with me. Hey, you know, that's another fallacy.
Right. I recommend that people wait, you know, to have sex, but everybody's going to do what they're going to do. Sure. I just have found that the longer that you wait and set sex aside, the better the relationship develops without sex. And then you can bring it in when you've got a foundation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and a lot of people don't want to wait nowadays because they feel like they will lose if they do. And more we see a lot of our even seniors jumping and hopping in and out of bed on these internet sites and stuff like that, trying to find love so that they will not be lonely, you know, but it doesn't work that way for men or women.
So one of the key things, and thank you for those, it's very helpful for people to hear what love is not.
Yes.
When we're manifesting from an empty place, a depleted place, not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy, not feeling confident in ourselves, then what's going to happen?
We're going to get screwed results.
Right?
Screwed results. Because we're going to mess up the energy because we need to always create from our highest place. In other words, go into your secret closet, go into your place and intentionally decide that, okay, I'm going to create this, I'm going to do this here, I'm going to write these affirmations, and I'm going to spend my time creating in a very positive place. Because if you do not and you are just kind of like all over the place, then that's the results that you're going to get, which are kind of like all over the place.
Well, and the other thing is that if you don't feel good about yourself, you're going to attract somebody who's not going to feel good about themselves either, and that's often when jealousy and abuse take place.
That's very true. You know, that's very true. And so, you know, this whole thing about love, I mean, it does make the world go around, but it can make you kind of screwy and punchy at the same time, just trying to figure it out, you know, am I in love? Do I want love? Am I afraid of love? Do I have abandonment issues around love? But remember, I'm saying love in each one of these scenarios. And so people are always wondering, okay, what's going on? So that's why we have the love doctor. If you got medical problems, you go to the medical doctor. If you need got love problems, you go to the love doctor. So, you know.
I can hear our listening audience going, okay, so let's get to the meat of the issue. How can I attract love? So I want you to talk about Bernard.
Well, Bernard was one of my manifestations, and it was kind of like an unconscious manifestation because I ended up with this person, and I would say this affirmation all the time. Affirmations are very powerful. I want to attract a great, big, fine, healthy thing. That's all I knew that I wanted. I wanted a great, big, big, fine, healthy thing. Now, when I was asking for this, I wasn't asking for anything else. I just knew that I wanted somebody who was, you know. And so I'm driving down the street one day, and sure enough, there this guy was standing on the corner, and he was gorgeous. He was like, oh, you know, I couldn't even pay attention to what I was doing. And I was at the stoplight. It happened so fast. He came over to my car. He gave me his telephone number. I gave him my telephone number, and I drove off, all within one light. So I said that was the longest light in history because it really should have changed. I was downtown in Atlanta at the Underground.
Wow.
So
that's a very busy, very busy section of Atlanta.
Very, very busy section. So, but he was gorgeous. I mean, he was built like the Hulk of somebody, you know, had a smile from heaven, you know, he had some pecs on him that you would not believe. Just a very, very handsome guy.
Okay, handsome. So I just want to reiterate, so that you said you wanted this great, big, fine, healthy thing. And he was all that.
Yes.
And what was he not?
He had no brains, no scruples. The list is endless. I don't think it would take me two shows to tell you everything he was not. You know what I'm saying? He was the best liar that I have ever known in my life. He did.
Well, he was good at something, though.
He was good at lying. You know, he wouldn't work. He was a thief. he didn't like my daughter. He wanted me to throw my daughter out of the house at 14.
You know what I'm saying?
He slept with everybody in the world. I found out he didn't have an education. I found out his dysfunctional family was more than I could even begin to talk about. It would take me another book to write about his family. They were so dysfunctional.
Okay.
I mean,
so
it was
what
crazy.
What do we need to focus on then when we're creating?
We need to be conscious. We need to be consciously aware of what it is that we want, what it is that we want to receive, and begin to move, you know. I mean, if we have to make a list, you know, make it over and over again until you get it right. You know, put down not a great, big, fine, healthy thing, but you might want a man that's spiritual, a man who's good sexual, a man who has good communication, a man who has money. We can go on and on.
Well,
make
and,
your
and
list.
Here's the other thing, because I did a vision board and I manifested everything on that vision board within 12 months. And I've got to say, I put a picture of a bride and a bridegroom, and I'm pretty sure the bridegroom was gay because the guy I manifested and married was gay.
That is so cute.
So we need to focus on the things that we want. So when you're making your list, that for me, in my case, heterosexual being is on the top. Spiritual would be second. I want somebody who's honest, authentic, and can be committed, will be faithful. And so all of those things, you want to think about what do you want. And what I recommend you do, make it minute. Make the details minute. Write down, I had Shanitha do this, and we'll have to talk about this. I had Shanitha do a list of 100 criteria she wanted in a man. She said, 100. I said 100. And then boil it down to 10 must-haves. And why do we do this? Because out of that 100, you're going to look at your list and you're going to say, well, I know that there's some of these things are, you know, he doesn't have to be gorgeous. He doesn't have to have a booty.
No,
from
he doesn't.
Hell, you know? So you focus on the things that mean the most to you. For me, a heterosexual man is at the top of my list. Somebody who's emotionally available, somebody who's spiritual, all of those things, committed, authentic, honest, kind, loving. Those things are on my list of 10. And so you want to boil it down to 10. And what else, Shanitha?
You have to have intent. I think that after you write it, you have to believe it, you know. You have to give it to the universe, and you have to let it go. Getting back to the list that you told me to write down, when I wrote that list one night, and the next night, this person showed up.
Hallelujah.
Everything that was everything that was on the list. It was like, woo! Talk about a fast manifestation. But when I was writing it, I was letting it go, and I was giving it to the universe and say, I accept this. And when I met the person the next day, it was like I knew that the person had just about everything, almost everything on the list that I wrote. My list was more extensive than 10, but he had mostly all things on the list that I'd asked for. He was truly a soulmate. Well, he is a soulmate, I put it that way. Not the one that I would marry or anything like that, but a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And sometimes people have a hard time with this letting go process. So how can you describe that?
I think the best way to describe it is this. All you have to do is take a really, 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 really deep breath and hold it for as long as you can. I mean, just like somebody had a plastic bag over your head. Just hold it and hold it and hold it, you know, until you feel like you're going to bust. And boy, when you finally let that go, that air go, it feels like heaven to be able to let that air go, because then you can breathe in. With each inspiration is an expiration. With expiration is an inspiration. But you let go with such intensity because you want air. You want air to breathe. And it's kind of like that, letting it go. You know, when you let that breath go, you know you're going to get another breath. It's like, okay, that breath is gone forever into the universe. You will never, ever, ever get that breath back again.
That's okay.
You can really, truly let go, okay?
All right. So letting go is important, but what about the emotion that we send it out into the universe with?
I think that is very, very important that, you know, we get the feeling, you know, our feeling nature. We have all these particular, we have senses and things. The feeling nature, you know, the ability to be able to visualize, you know, for that moment, you know, that to be able to see it, to feel it, you know, to know it, to say it, and to write it, to do all these things, and couple them all together, you know what I'm saying, because this is the ultimate in your creative processes when you're doing it all together. The visualization could be just as powerful as the audible words that you speak, the writing it down, you know, maybe burning it, you know, and I'm saying and letting it go. That's another way you can let go of something that you write down. There's so many ways that you can do it, but when you give it to the universe, we have to remember one thing. The universe is just, and we must trust that the universe is going to give back to us what we have asked for if we ask for it with all those things coupled together. That is your intensity, you know. I believe it. I can say this very quickly about Jesus. When Jesus wanted to raise Lazarus from the grave, you know, and you know, everybody was saying that he was dead, but Jesus was like, he ain't dead, you know. We're going to get him up from there in a few minutes. But when Jesus got ready to raise him up, he spoke it. He could have thought it because he was so powerful and maybe he would have moved. But Jesus knew the power of the spoken word, and he did not speak it very, very nimby-mamby. He used the power of his voice and his intensity and his faith to make Lazarus get up. And he didn't say, Lazarus, would you please get up? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he spoke those words, you know, it was the energy, and I could even feel that energy even when I just said that. That's the power of words. Only thing that Lazarus could do was to wake up. You see? You know, he was asleep, like he had said. He woke up. He responded to the intensity and the power of which Jesus was speaking to him. So we have to use that same type of energy. you know, sometimes, you know, if it's a sickness or something that we're having, or if it's a man or something that we're wanting or whatever, we have got to see it and believe it and smell it and make it one with us. Okay, and then it becomes ours.
Then it becomes that, ours. That is really powerful. Shanitha, just to kind of wrap things up, I want to go over this manifestation exercise. I want to talk a little bit about the steps that people need to take. And I want to talk a little bit more about the visualization, because I think if you can envision yourself waking up in the morning in bed next to your lover, if you can envision yourself drinking coffee on your patio in the morning with your lover, if you can see yourself, you know, walking down the street with them, holding hands and maybe going grocery shopping, but feeling the feelings that you would have if that person was in your life.
Absolutely. You know,
okay.
And if you don't have anybody specific, you know, play the game. Like when you're a little kid, you know, when you had to play house, you know, you play like this is going to be. And when you grow up, all little girls want to grow up and get married because they played that stuff when they was little. You see what I'm saying? Remember, again, the subconscious mind doesn't know whether it's real or not.
Well, isn't it important for us to not focus on a particular person when we're trying to attract love into our lives?
That's very, very good not to do that, because we just don't want to use the powers that we have to manipulate, because then sometimes it doesn't turn out well. You know, because we've drawn them, you know, I'd say falsely. You know, we've drawn these people falsely.
Well, besides that, what about saying something like, I ask for the divine partner that would be in my highest and best good, or something.
That's a good. You know, that's good. You know, there's so many different types of affirmations that you can use. Like I said, I have a book with all kind of affirmations that you can use to pull that person in. The most important thing that you must believe is this: there is no relationship better than the relationship that you're going to have with yourself. There is no love better than the love that you're going to give yourself. Okay, and if you cannot have these things inside of yourself, it's very unlikely that you're going to attract this wonderful, magnetic, you know, shining horse kind of love affair, because, again, the universe is just. It's going to give you what you are doing. If you're not loving, the universe can't give you a loving partner.
Right. And all the things that we say to ourselves are reflecting back to us how we feel about ourselves.
Absolutely.
And coming from an empty place, not feeling love for yourself, that is not the time to be manifesting manifest a soulmate.
No, it's not.
No. And compassion, we have to have compassion for ourselves. That's one of the things that's been coming up for me recently, that I love myself, but compassion, to have compassion for yourself, compassion for others. So,
That's one of the things that's in the book. It says that you have to look in the mirror for 30 days, okay, and in the mirror you have to tell yourself, I love myself unconditionally. And you can say it 5 times, you can say it 10 times, but you must do it every day for 30 days because that produces change. I love myself unconditionally. I love myself unconditionally. Until it becomes one with you, that is the case, that you love yourself unconditionally.
Okay, you still there?
Yeah, I thought it was hanging up because I knew it was 9 o'clock.
That was me. I unplugged my phone and I unplugged my microphone at the same time.
Oh, okay. I said, well, maybe the show is over. It's 9 o'clock. So I was going to say, okay, goodbye.
That was a spontaneous hang up. I did not mean to do that. So, okay, so we want to love ourselves first unconditionally, and we need to make ourselves important. Loving all parts of ourselves. We can't try to excise part of ourselves out or cut off part of ourselves, because it's just not possible. And the intent is one of the most important things, correct, Shanitha?
Yes, it is. Intention. With anything that you do in life, it doesn't necessarily have to be relationships, you know?
No.
You could be trying to lose weight, you know? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. You know, you could be trying to get another job or whatever, but whatever you do, if you're doing it with intention, you're going to see results. You're going to see good results.
And we need to not be pushing, just be. So you ask for what it is you want and let it go instead
of
continuing
to push. Let the universe give it
to
you. Let the universe give it to you. The universe doesn't need any help.
Okay. What advice would you give our listeners just to wrap up, Shanisa?
The most important thing is that we all are going to seek love from someone else. We want that validation, you know, from someone else, you know, whether we're feeling lonely or whatever, we want it from someone else. And again, you must be able to give it to yourself. You must be able to live by yourself alone. You must be able to have those periods with yourself and God alone. That is the only way you're going to manifest a partner. And I tell people all the time, I attract a lot of men, and I do, you know, because I'm always thinking that I'm going to. I always tell myself I'm going to, and it happens. So talk, do self-talk, but do good self-talk.
How about good things are happening in my life right now?
That's a nice one. And for all you ladies out there, I got the most wonderful affirmation that you can use that really, really works. It's really, really simple. And you can say this to yourself when you get ready to go out on Friday with the girls or wherever you're going to go. It goes like this. Men are awestruck by my beauty. They find me irresistible, and they always give me what I want. But you got to realize what it is that you want. But you can just say that. Men find me irresistible. And when you say that, they're going to come out of the woodworks, trust me, because it is an affirmation, and it is an affirmation to attract. It is the law of attraction that you're putting into manifestation when you're saying this particular affirmation.
So repeat that again, please.
Men are awestruck by my beauty. They find me irresistible, and they always give me what I want.
Ooh, I like that. And that's a great note to close on. So, Shanisa, just what is your website one more time, please?
My website is twinflamesinlove.com. My telephone number, if somebody wants to reach me, is 770-463-5990. I've been in the love business for 40 years now. If you want to reach me by my email, it's twinflames@bellsouth.net. You notice everything is Twin Flames because that's my signature, Twin Flames. twinflames@bellsouth.net. And also you can get a copy of my latest book, which I gave you some information out of. This evening, it's called Deliverance, and it's by Shanisa Akinlana, and you can get that at Amazon.com.
And that is one powerful book from one powerful woman.
Shanisa,
it has been a joy and a pleasure having you on my show tonight. Please do visit my blog. We are almost at 30,000 hits, and I would love to get there by the end of this week. So thank you so much for reading my articles and my blog, following me. And Shanisa and I are going to be doing some more work together. We just know it, don't we, Shanisa?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're soulmates, okay? We're soulmates, okay?
Well, thank
you, my
dear.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Jennifer. And I hope that all this information that we have shared for those ladies out there and those men out there will help them to have ultimate wonderful relationships.
Thank you so much. And good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.